Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for 35 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. And if you've been with us, you know we started a brand new series just a couple of weeks ago, and I'm very excited about this series. I'm calling it Clearly Stated Portraits of God. And here's why. If you've been with me for any length of time, you know that I see portraits of God throughout the scripture. And I put my own two-word combinations to entitle those portraits of God just to get a glimpse of His heart and the ways of God, all of that. Well, here in this series, we're going to be listening to the clearly stated portraits of God from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Himself. And if you've been with us, you know, for the first week we covered how Jesus said, I am the bread of life. We talked about that. And then last week we talked about how Jesus said, I am the living water. Well, today we're going to talk about how Jesus said, I am the light of the world. That's the portrait of God we'll be looking at today. And if you have your Bibles, may I invite you to start with me over in John chapter 8. And then we'll be going to John 9 and John 1 and 2 Corinthians 4 and 1 John 1, Matthew 5, several places where the scripture gives us more and more clarity about the ministry of the Lord as the light of the world. And just a quick reminder, as you're making your way over to the passage in your Bible or on your device over in John 8, all of these messages are 27 minutes long, and they're archived on my website. It's called Helping You Hear God, and it's at markpg.org. That's markpg.org. On that landing page, just click on the broadcast box, among other boxes, with other kinds of resources and helps to help you hear God. And when you get to that second landing page, just click on Portraits of God, and it's that simple, and you can start scrolling through to catch up or listen again or share these 27-minute broadcasts with others. And so, yeah, just jot that down at markpg.org, and I hope you'll check it out. Well, as we get started, as is our custom, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, we just love how You're the kind of God who loves to speak with His children. And Lord, I believe You're always whispering things to us. We just get so noisy in our busy lifestyles because of the noisiness out there. But we have internal noises of heartbreak and wounds and frustrations and confusion and all that. And yet You love to speak to us. You are constantly speaking with us, ongoing conversation with us. And today, as we take a journey through Your love letters to us, Lord, that we call the scriptures, I pray You'll just help me unpack this marvelous portrait of how You are the light of the world. Oh, we look forward just to hearing Your voice touch our hearts and the ears of our hearts, that we can receive and manifest the reality of how You are the light of the world in the heart of those of us who are believers. Oh, thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right. Well, as I mentioned, we're going to start in John chapter 8, verse 12. In fact, there's two specific places where He says, I am the light of the world, and then a lot of other references to Him being the light in general. So let's start at John 8, verse 12, where it says that Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows Me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And then over in John chapter 9, verses 4 through 5, it comes up in this context. He says, we must work the works of Him who sent me, as long as it is day, night is coming when no one can work. But while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Well, that's a metaphor that in many ways speaks for itself. It's so clear that the Lord is the one who comes into the darkness to shed light that we might be able to see. That we might be able to see the reality of who He is, the good news of what He has done, and the things that has been going on in our hearts that desperately need to be saved. But I'm not sure that we can really appreciate the metaphor without first appreciating the darkness and how bad the darkness is. Let me just see if I can illustrate that. You know, years ago when I was a boy, our family would take family vacations. I'm from Austin, Texas, and we would typically, in fact, take all of our vacations to the western United States. And one particular year, we went to Carlsbad Caverns, an incredible place to go. I was about 10 years old, and I'll never forget that as we took that journey into the depths of Carlsbad Caverns, we came to the innermost cavern, and it was beautifully lit, as you might expect, to really highlight the beauty of the caverns and, of course, the safety of all of those of us that were enjoying the tour. But we came to a point where the park ranger who was giving us the tour said, "Now, we're going to show you something here in a moment. And if you have children, you might want to draw them closer to yourself because we are going to actually turn off all the lights here in the cavern that you can get a feel for what the original discoverers saw or didn't see until they flashed a flashlight. But we thought you'd get a kick out of seeing the darkness." And so that's exactly what they did. So my dad reached for my hand, but I said, "Oh, Dad, I got this. I don't need to hold your hand or anything. I'm 10 years old and I'm thinking I can handle this." But let me tell you something, my friend. When that park ranger did the countdown, 3, 2, 1, and threw the switch that just turned everything out, I had never, ever even come close to experiencing the pitch black darkness that I experienced that day. You can't see the darkness, right? You just experience the darkness. And was it frightening? Well, absolutely. And man, my reflex was to reach for my father next to me. I put my arms around him and said, "Dad," you know, and he held me close along with my other brother and a sister who was with my mom. And then two interesting things happened. After just a few moments, the ranger said, after all the squawks and the gasps, you know, when he turned off the lights, he said, "Now let me show you something. I'm just going to turn on a little pen light." And he did. And it wasn't a very big light at all, a little pen light. But it's amazing how that little pen light pierced that darkness, made it a little bit less frightening. And of course, when he progressively added more and more lights coming back on, we got more and more comfortable with our surroundings. The light was saving our souls, in a sense, that day. Soul care. It's a term that's, we're hearing more and more now. It's about taking care of the innermost being of our hearts. Why? Because there's all kinds of darkness that we deal with in this world and even in our own hearts. We're going to walk through that today. But it's appreciating the reality of the pitch black darkness that we deal with in this world, it helps us appreciate the reality that Jesus is the light of the world. The other dynamic that day in Carlsbad Caverns was, it wasn't the pen light that first gave me relief. Remember when I told you the story, the first thing I reflexively did when it went pitch black? I reached for my father to hold him close. I call that the father light. I was comforted when I was holding on to my father, even in the pitch black darkness. And it'd be a few moments before they started turning on the lights. And you know, the Christian life is much like that. We're going to deal with things in this life that can feel pitch black. It won't be resolved sometimes very quickly, if at all, but that's okay. When we reach for the Father and grab onto Him, and He embraces us all the more closely, That's the Father light. That's the light of the world. That's the soul care that we need from our Father, from the Son, from the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're talking about today. And, you know, if you're a note taker, I'm going to give you five types of darkness that I saw as I was taking a stroll through the scriptures on this particular portrait and metaphor of Jesus as the light of the world. John 8:12 and John 9:5 get us started with the name that the Lord chose in referring to himself in this particular portrait. I am the light of the world. So let me give you the five kinds of darkness that he's piercing, that he is saving us from. I want to start us off in this journey of seeing the darkness and seeing how the light saves us from it. Over in John 1, chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 4, because this is where we have the classic opening in John's gospel where he says, "In the beginning was the Word," or the Logos, or Jesus. "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." And it goes on to talk about he created all things, right? But look at verse 4. It says, "In him," that is the Word, the Logos, Jesus, "in him was life, and the life was the light of men." Verse 5, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." All right, the first kind of darkness that was pierced was what I'm going to call pre-time darkness. This is an epic, epic portrait of the Godhead, the Holy Trinity, existing in eternity past. And in eternity past, by the way, we typically say eternity, we think about eternity future. But if you think that eternity is from now, this year, this day, forward into eternity future, well, that's just half of it. Go the other way, look in the past. It goes into eternity past as well. And that's where the Lord God of the ages lived in his Holy Trinity, and how there was a day when they were saying things like, "Let us make man in our image." And they were saying things like, "Let us create the heavens and the earth," and all. And they did. And Jesus spoke, the Word spoke, and it was created. Poof. And in that pre-time darkness, there was light. There was existence. There was reality. There was a universe. And then the scripture goes on to tell us how he created this particular planet called Earth and described how it was unfolding and light came. Pre-time darkness was pierced with the light of the universe, the light of the Creator, the light of the world in which we live. Isn't that marvelous? I tell you, there are times when I may be dealing with some kind of darkness, which you're going to be talking about here in a few minutes, in my life, and you can get discouraged, you can get frustrated, you can wonder if God even knows what's going on. Okay, well, you know what's going on, but you certainly aren't doing anything about it. You ever feel like that? Oh, you wouldn't say it out loud, we're not supposed to, but man, inside, whew, Lord, what in the world is going on here? And he reminds me, "Oh, son, I am your pre-time God." There was a pre-time darkness that we pierced as a Holy Trinity in the creation of the universe. "Do you not think I can handle what you're dealing with, my son?" And he smiles, and I smile, and I say, "Of course you can." Oh, my friend, I don't know what kind of things you're dealing with right now. We're probably going to describe some here in a few moments. But always go back to this beginning point, that Jesus is the light of the world that pierced pre-time darkness. He is totally capable of holding you closely. Reassuring your heart. Comforting your soul. Wow. Well, along this theme then, we have pre-time darkness that he pierced. Now, let's see how he pierced the darkness in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. He's going to pierce this with what he calls the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Oh, this is wonderful. Listen to this. This is 2 Corinthians 4:4. And this is a great passage to keep in mind when you are dealing with this culture that's just going downhill so rapidly, the social discourse, all of the different paganistic beliefs and practices that are going on all around us, how people behave and act and react to stuff. I mean, it's just crazy out there, but here's why. 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, "For in whose case the God of this world," that's G, a little g, "for in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see," here we go, "the light of the gospel." The good news is what gospel means. The light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. And that brings to mind the Shekinah glory of the Lord that manifested himself in the Old Testament as the pillar of fire in the wilderness for the children of Israel, and also the cloud by day that would lead them. It's manifested on the road to Damascus when the Lord Jesus appeared in such a bright, shining light in the Shekinah glory of the Lord that Paul just fell on his face before him and was blinded for a season, and he heard his voice. I mean, I love this. 2 Corinthians, again, 4:4, "In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." My friend, the light of the gospel is what we get to share as believers with those who are unbelievers, that the light of this world, Jesus, might pierce their darkness, their spiritual darkness, as he did on the road to Damascus with Saul or Paul, and boom, things begin to happen. Things come to light. Don't be shocked. Don't be overwhelmed about the reality of lostness in this world, how carnal it gets, how pagan it is. Of course, there are cultural wars out there and around the world. That's why we are here. We are here as representatives and ambassadors and carriers and messengers of the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he is the light of the world, to pierce this God of this world darkness. So the light of the world is piercing the pre-time darkness. Already did that. We can bank on that. Now, and he has been piercing the God of this world darkness, the enemy's darkness that he does through seductions and confusion and lies and deception, through his demonic hordes, through this worldly system of people who bought into those lies and are perpetuating those lies. We see it everywhere. Don't get angry at them. They are the victims. The people out there that are dispelling the lies, believing the lies, living out the lies, they are in the snare of the devil, being held captive by him to do his will, blinded by the God of this world. They need a rescue, and the light of the world has the light of the gospel in all his glory, who is the image of God, that we get to share with others. And my friend, as we're sharing the gospel with others, we're not trying to have an argument with them. We're not trying to force them into the kingdom of God, not even trying to convince them. That's kind of going mind to mind. We're going deeper than that. We are offering the reality of Jesus Christ himself and the gospel story in his holy, infallible, divine word, and sharing the story, sharing the truth, that their eyes might be opened. Is that just amazing or what? The Lord wants to pierce the God of this world's darkness that he's been spreading, duping people right and left. He hates it. The enemy hates it when we do that. But that's what we get to do. Oh, I love that. So we have the pre-time darkness that the Logos, the Word, pierced way back in the beginning of the creation of the world. We have the God of this world darkness that's at play right now. Hence the culture wars, hence a lot of paganism, but we get to spread the gospel all over the world, the light of the gospel, the message of the light of the world. But now let me talk about the heart level darkness that we're dealing with. It's a heart level darkness. We have to get a hold of this. This is why soul care is so important. It's not just head knowledge. We want to get to heart and soul care. We want to get to that heart level of darkness. And if you just drop on down from 2 Corinthians 4:4 to 2 Corinthians 4:6, here's what the Bible says. For God, who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. So we're seeing how all the different ways his light is shining out of the darkness. Now he's shining into the dark, the heart level darkness that we have when we are unsaved. But even once we're saved, we still have a lot of baggage that's left over. We still have wounded hearts, betrayed hearts, broken hearts. We're half-hearted. We have shadowed hearts. We don't even know our own heart. There's some heart level darkness, but the Lord's saying, that's okay. That's what I'm here to save and to heal. That's why I've come, to shine my light in that heart level darkness in what we call progressive sanctification. We get saved, once saved, always saved. No one can take us out of the Father's hand. That's justification. We're made righteous in his sight when we come to Christ and say, Lord, everything I have, all that I am, I give to you. I'm a sinner. I repent. I need you. I'm doomed if I don't. He's delighted to save us. But then he spends the rest of our lives on earth continuing to work in our hearts to live out what he's already worked in. We're just a little darkened in that reality. And we get to be discipled. We get to dive into him and to his word, that the darkness can be, well, can be dispelled by more and more light as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that cool or what? So, he's dealt with pre-time darkness, God of this world darkness, heart level darkness. Now let's look at relational darkness. This is so cool. This is over in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, and then verse 7. Listen to this. 1 John 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. So here's another variation of this portrait of God, where he is the light of the world, because God is light. Now verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. This is relational darkness being pierced. When we are sin, the Bible says that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and we're separated from the Lord. There's no relationship there vertically. But when we get saved, a relationship is established. All kinds of metaphors, like the marital metaphor, where we're the bride of Christ, or the father and son or daughter metaphor, or adopted sons and daughters, or all kinds of metaphors that get us into this relational way of thinking about our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that it's there because it translates into improving and healing the fellowship we have with others. I just love that. The light of the world came to pierce the pre-time darkness, the God of this world darkness, the heart level darkness, but also the relational darkness. If you're having some struggles, big time struggles in any relationships in your life, the Lord can shed his light in your heart to see how you may be responsible. In fact, we all are responsible for a portion of that, and then the others, and we work it through in his grace with gentleness. I love that. He came to pierce relational darkness as well. And finally, let me take it over to Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. When can it get confusing to folks, this is the opening parts of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says this. He didn't say, "I am the light of the world." He seemingly inexplicably says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, And it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now, is this a contradiction to everything else we've been talking about? Who's the light here? Are we the light or is he the light? Well, it's pretty simple. He's like the sunlight that is the origin of the light. We're like the moonlight. We reflect the light of the sun. S-U-N in the metaphor, S-O-N in the reality of the spiritual truths that we get from the scripture. And Jesus doesn't say, go be the light of the world. He says, you are. He's encouraging you. He's affirming you. If you've become a born-again believer, my friend, you are the light of the world in the sense that you can reflect the light of the world wherever you go. People need to see your light. They need to see it in such a way that through your good works, you are glorifying the Father who is in heaven. And every time you are kind to them, you're encouraging to them, you serve them, you share some insights with them, you're getting them one step closer to the cross, one step closer to the cross, one step closer to the cross, until one day the light of the world will be able to shine in that heart level darkness. They can see their need for the Savior and come to Christ. Isn't that marvelous? I just love this. The Lord Jesus, this portrait of God, He is the light of the world. And these are just a few of the applications. There's so many more. But what a joy to be saved by the light of the world. Lord, thank you so much for that. We are grateful for that. And we want to share that gospel light with others. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org for more. Till next time, fall in love with Jesus, our light of the world.